You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The American Angle with William Hill.
Hello and welcome back. The NBA Finals move to Game 5, which we'll be discussing on this edition, with the Toronto Raptors just one game away from a maiden NBA title. And the series goes back to Toronto as well after they took Games 3 and 4 in Oakland. And we are very much looking forward to Game 5. And as I say, potentially a bit of history for the Toronto Raptors. Stephen Bakary joins me from the William Hill Trading Room. How are you, Stephen?
Very well.
Games 3 and 4, first of all, for us. A look back on those two, obviously. The Raptors won both of them in Oakland, and they are now on the cusp of NBA history. It will be their first NBA title, in their first finals appearance as well. Start with a look back at Game 3, which the Raptors won. It was interesting for me, though. Obviously, we're largely going to talk about what went wrong for the Warriors as well as what went right for the Raptors over these last couple of games. Game 3 was interesting in the fact that we've mentioned so many times this year the Warriors are a great team at everybody chipping in and everybody doing a little bit. But oddly enough, in Game 3, it was all on Steph Curry's shoulders, like a LeBron-esque performance. He got 47 points. That wasn't enough. But it was strange, really, that he was the only one that really came through for them. I know they've got plenty of injuries, of course, but it was unlike the Warriors.
Yeah, well, obviously they had no Klay Thompson for that game, yes, which was a massive hindrance, which meant they were able to just load up on Clay. But like you said, Steph had 47, 8 and 7, and it was a massive performance. Draymond chipped in with 17 points, which for him is a big game nowadays. Yeah, yeah. 17-4, and the only other Golden State player who was in double figures was Iggy with 11 points. Other than that, they got nothing. I mean, DeMarcus, it seems like that Game 2 performance for him was an aberration. It literally has come out of nowhere, and since then he's almost cratered in confidence in his performance. I mean, we'll get touch on Game 4 as well in a minute, but literally it was like watching LeBron last year's finals, yeah, when he dropped 51 in game one, and it still isn't enough. And that's the luxury that Steph's had the last few years. It's no knock on him. It's not saying he's not a great player, but he's had that luxury of, he's had the other weapons around him. He's had Klay Thompson, where you can't double team one of them because one of them's going to get open. For the last few years, he's had Kevin Durant, where you can't do anything, but if you double team someone, one person, you've got a wide open threat somewhere else on the floor. And it's now the struggle. But a lot of things I've been hearing is, like, a lot of people have been downplaying how great he is. But that's the difference physically between, like, when you've got a LeBron or a Kawhi, in this instance for Toronto, with that extra size compared to Steph. Because he's a slightly smaller player, yes, he relies on his skill and finesse. He can't just bully you and get past you all the time. He's got to use his skill. And sometimes you can just, if you double team him, it's almost impossible for him to get out of it because he is that small player. Mm. If you put the height on him, there's nothing you can do with it. But there's no knock from Toronto. I mean, it was the complete opposite, like you were saying. We're used to Golden State providing a team effort.
Yep.
That was what was the undoing of Golden State in Game 3. I mean, the entire starting five for Toronto had 17 or more in that game. So if you've got five players chipping in 17 points, I mean, Kawhi led the way with 37-6. Lowry had 23-9. You're not going to beat a team if you've got the entire starting lineup chipping in like that when you've only got the one superstar. It's going to take a monumental effort. And the thing is, they're just not, you know, defensively, they just can't do anything with Toronto. I mean, especially because they are so slim up front without Kevin Durant, who we underrate as a defender.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson is one of their best defenders. He was missing as well. So they were really up against it in Game 3.
Yeah, indeed. And good point you make there as well. Steph probably has less experience of picking a team up and putting it on his back compared to someone like LeBron, where, you know, that's been his game for years and years now, whereas I suppose Steph hasn't had to carry the mantle as much all on his own. And then obviously Game 4, this was, again, just the kind of game I just expected the Warriors to bounce back in. They were held to 92 points, which is a real low for them in this postseason. And the Raptors won that game 105-92. The key in that game as well, and again, this is something that we've associated with the Warriors, was the third quarter scoring. The Raptors just went off in the third quarter, and that's been a key period of games for the Warriors. That's been something that we've seen evidence in this postseason, actually, particularly the series against Portland. In the second half, they were constantly coming back, and their third quarter numbers have been impeccable, but they were drilled by the Raptors in the third quarter. I think it only took them, you know, after 10 minutes, they had sort of 30-odd points in that one. It was a great third-quarter effort, which, again, is something that we associate with the Warriors.
I mean, I think they won that quarter 37-21, but the key to that was the fact that they only trailed at halftime. I think it was by 4 points, and they didn't play well in the first half. I mean, you watched it and I watched it. I was trading certain things for William Hill, and you were watching that game and you're thinking, the Warriors are playing well, the Raptors aren't, and it's still only a four-point game. If the Raptors turn it on like they have been doing, then they're in trouble. And literally, they opened up the quarter. Kawhi Leonard just ran down and hit two straight threes. They took the lead and never looked back from that point again. It is exactly as you said. We used to seeing the Warriors come out with that big third quarter burst. But on this case, it was the Raptors. And the Warriors just didn't have an answer for it. Because I'm not sure if you've just mentioned it. Steph really struggled this game from the field.
Yeah.
I mean, Klay Thompson, to think he's coming off a bad hamstring, had a heroic performance. He had 28 points, 6 of 10 from 3, and he played 42 minutes. I was doing player points for William Hill, and I was thinking he's going to play a maximum of like 36, 37 minutes. He can't play 40-odd minutes on a dodgy hamstring.
Yep.
He's just going to run himself into the ground. And he did. He just kept on going, and he kept on shooting well. Whereas Steph, it wasn't that there were bad looks for him. He just missed them. Mm. He went 9 of 22 from the field, 2 of 9 from 3, which is not what you expect from Steph, but something I was listening to, he was overdue a bad game. He hasn't really had a bad game the last two rounds of the playoffs. Against Portland, he played well the entire series. First three games of this series, he played well, especially game 3, so he was overdue, really, to lay an egg. And unfortunately, it was on a night where no one else could pick up the slack other than Klay Thompson, because outside of those two, they literally got nothing. I mean, Boogie Cousins, I just touched on it earlier. He basically got benched the entire second half. He didn't play in the fourth quarter. I think he started the third and then was pulled after a couple of minutes, and that was it. We didn't see him again. Draymond Green, I'm watching these games and I'm screaming at the television. He's grabbing the rebound, pushing it up, but he's never pushing to score.
Yeah.
He's always looking to dish off, and I'm thinking, you're at the basket. Just go up through contact, finish, be a threat. He's always dishing it off, creating turnovers. Guys aren't finishing, and the amount of wasted points that they're having from those possessions is unbelievable. And it's frustrating to watch, because the backcourt, the Splash Brothers, aren't getting any help really from everyone else. And that's so unfortunate, because they said they wanted to try and protect Steph's legacy, because he's going on, as it looks like now, he may lose his finals and he may not get that finals MVP that he's always deserved. But it's not through his own fault. Like his surrounding casters aren't performing to the level that he needs.
Yeah, and you know, as it goes back to the point that we mentioned after game 3, it's gotten us to a stage now where Steph can't really afford to have a bad game, because there's been so much focus on him. As you say, he could have when all the Warriors are fit and firing. You know, we do have to accept the injuries they've got. He can't afford to have a quiet night, but he just can't at the moment.
No, I mean, I think what was the real shock was, I mean, you and me, I think when we recorded the last one, we were expecting Kevin Durant to at least feature in game 4.
Yeah.
And there's no sign of him. So we might have to face the fact that he's not going to play in these finals, which is really, I mean, my prediction has gone up in flames anyway. So let's not touch on that again. We're saying the Warriors
technically mine's still alive.
Yours is still alive. Yeah. Mine's, I said they were going to win games 3 and 4. That really went well. So it's a case of, we have to face the fact that he might not play in this series, which means it's all on Steph's shoulders and all on Klay's shoulders. I mean, we don't think of Klay in the same realm as we do Steph, but they've got to play out of their minds for two games to really do this. But the problem is, they've just run into Kawhi, who's having a historic postseason. I mean, he had 36 and 12. He did that with zero turnovers in game 4, which the only other player to do that in NBA postseason history is Michael Jordan. 36 points, over 30 points with zero turnovers on the road. I mean, he has just been unbelievable this postseason. In game 3, he's averaging 31-9 for the entire postseason. He's been unbelievable this entire run. And he's doing it still on a dodgy knee anyway. So he injured that knee in game, I can't remember if it was at the end of the under the Philadelphia series or the start of the Milwaukee series. And he's still just controlling the game and doing everything the way he wants to, and just surgically destroying the Warriors. I think he's been to the line 50 times in this series, and missed three of them. He's just surgically removing them piece by piece in this series.
Absolutely. And the lack of turnovers has been absolutely phenomenal. Everyone will point to the scoring, but that's, if anything, the more mind-blowing statistic, that is how low the turnovers have been. It's been incredible the way he's protected the basketball, on top of obviously a huge scoring effort and acting as sort of the captain of the team, if you like, the leader. But the small number of turnovers has been incredible.
It has, to think that how much he has the ball in his hands. I mean, they often just literally let him go ISO one-on-one, but it's the fact that the reason why the turnovers are so low is because he's playing the game at his speed. He's not allowing them to play at Warriors' pace. Once it gets once they've got out of transition basketball and it breaks down into half court, they allow it to go to Leonard and let him run the game at his own pace, which is a slow herky-jerky style, which you don't necessarily associate with him, but he just lulls you into that wrong position and just takes advantage of you because he does everything at his own pace. And it's not like when we're watching, it's not that he goes searching for fouls, he just gets them naturally because of his strength, which is very undermined considering, like, he almost put Kevon Looney out of this series with that play. It wasn't a dirty play, he just ran through him and just laid him on the floor. But it is phenomenal to think how we missed a season of him last year and just completely forgot how good he was, and he's come back even with a dodgy leg.
Have Nick Nurse and the team been vindicated in how much they rested him and how much they managed his load during the regular season? Because a lot of people, probably myself included, were a little bit critical of that. But they're reaping the rewards of it here.
They are. To think they earned the second best record in the NBA without him playing. I think he only played 67 games, it was this season. So he didn't play he only played basically two-thirds of the season, and they still ended up with the second-best record in the NBA, earning them home court advantage. But it does vindicate, if he's only playing so many minutes, so many games, they've allowed to milk as much basketball as they've needed out of him. I mean, even when I was listening to the broadcast on Game 4, they were saying that they were surprised he was sat for the first couple of minutes of the fourth quarter. They would have just kept him out there and gone for the kill. But the team's played that well. They didn't need him to do that, but even then, the fact that he's had so much rest during the season, it's allowed them just to literally ride his back this entire postseason. It's not like when we've watched LeBron in years gone past, especially the one that you can go to now is James Harden, where he does everything he can to get his numbers in the regular season. Yeah. And he comes to the postseason, he's just gassed.
Yes.
Whereas Kawhi, we haven't seen that. It's not as if he's coasted for the regular season, but he's gone at his pace and had enough rest so that he can do what we're watching now.
Yeah. Hats off to the team as well for that decision through the regular season. In terms of Game 5, then, we're obviously going back to Toronto for this Scotiabank Arena. 27-20 for the Warriors. The Raptors are 20-31. A three-point spread here. Raptors minus 3 is 10-11. Plus 3 for the Warriors is 10-11. The over-under here, in terms of the points, is set at 212. Obviously, 10-11 each of two over and under on that one. This is obviously last chance saloon for the Warriors now. If they are going to win the NBA Finals, they need to win three straight games. Two of those are going to be on the road. Touched on Kevin Durant there. Is it time, if they can, to empty the clip now for Steve Kerr and maybe not rush him back, but perhaps see if he can play through the pain, perhaps what Klay Thompson did in the last game? They need to reach for it, really.
The problem is that no one seems to know how bad the injury is or whether it is...
We have been starved of information, haven't we, really?
That's the thing. I was listening to something on my way in, and it was a recap of Game 4, and everyone was under the assumption that he was going to play on Friday night. But he just didn't appear. And there's been, like you said, we've just been starved of information as to whether it is a calf tear or a strain, or whether there's an Achilles problem that he's not telling everyone about. It's the fact that, well, he's not even sat on the bench watching these games. He's sat in the back watching it on a TV, which seems very strange. Like, we saw Yusuf Nurkic in the Portland series come out and watch all his games on the bench, and he was never going to play.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is very strange not knowing what's going to happen. But because the question is now, is he gone? He's not on the bench. If he's not going to if he's not even going to try and get on the court, is he just he's just cutting his losses and severing ties with the Warriors? And he's bolting to New York or Brooklyn or the Clippers, wherever it's going to be for the next season. But if they can get him on the court, they have to, because as we all know, it's only ever happened once that in the finals the teams come back from 3-1 down. They've got to try and make history and do it a second time. But You can't, if he comes back, you can't rule anything out with the Warriors. Mm.
Yeah, it's annoying from a betting perspective that we are guessing, particularly with US sports in general, the way the injury reports work there. We kind of have more information than you would do, you know, for example, Premier League football when it comes to injuries. You're kind of more in the clear when it comes to American sports and the injuries there. So being in the dark about this Kevin Durant situation is frustrating. With or without him, how do you think the Warriors get on in Game 5?
Well,
I still have a sneaky feeling for them, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it's that nagging.
Yeah,
the entire time I was watching those games 3 and 4, and I'm thinking the entire time, right? Because I backed the Warriors in Game 3.
Yes.
Game 4, I was fighting not backing the Raptors, although I did go on the Raptors on the minus when it looked like the game was over.
Yes.
But you just think to yourself, you can't count out the Warriors. What we've seen for the last four years, you just can't count them out. But everything in my head is thinking this series is over.
Yes.
And it's that the old head versus heart decision. Mm. And I want more basketball. From a selfish perspective, I want as many games, I want the season to last as long as possible.
Yes.
But in my head, I think the Raptors are going to cruise this game. I think they're going to close it out in style. But the heart wants more basketball.
Yes.
It wants Kevin Durant. As much as I don't like Kevin Durant on the Warriors, you want that game 7.
Yeah.
You want them to be pushed to a game 7, but I think the series is done.
And I think coming into this series as well, everybody thought if the Raptors are going to win, then they have to win it in a heroic fashion. They have to win it in 6 or 7 games. It has to be a big titanic effort from the Raptors. Whereas at the moment, they're going to win in 5 and the Warriors are going to kind of go out with a bit of a whimper, really. And this dynasty is going to, you know, not have the glorious ending. Whether it was a glorious victory or a glorious defeat, it had to be glorious, and it isn't going to be if it's done in 5.
Yeah, but when you look back at history, a lot of the big dynasties didn't end. Barring the Michael Jordan era in Chicago, how many of the big dynasties ended on a high note? I mean, the Heat, the Big Three era in Miami ended at the hands of Kawhi Leonard getting destroyed by the Spurs. Yeah. You look at the Lakers, after they won back-to-back titles, they went for the three-peat, they got swept by the Dallas Mavericks by about 20 points a game. The first three-peat, after they went for a fourth straight, they got beat by the Pistons. So barring that Michael Jordan era back in the 90s, it really doesn't end in that fairy tale fashion.
Mm.
So maybe we're a bit naive to think that could have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. -3 is the spread for the Raptors. Do you think they cover?
I think
it's not an insurmountable spread.
It's
really,
not an insurmountable spread. I mean, if Durant plays, then maybe we get the fairy tale 7-game series. But if not, I think that the Raptors are going to go make a statement. Because, I mean, you saw the difference between the fans and the players after Game 4. The fans were absolutely off. They were on cloud 9, over the moon. They were going wild, thinking, yes, we won the championship. You saw the players. They were cold. They were calm. They were thinking, this isn't done yet. We've seen it happen before, but teams blow a 3-1 lead. We need to go in and handle business. Mm. And I think that's what they'll do. I think if you want to take them, if you want to hedge your bets and take the money line, it's not a bad price. Is it 21 to 30?
20 to 31.
20 to 31, sorry. 20 to 31 if you want to hedge your bets, but I think the -3 is an easy one to take for the Raptors.
Are you on trading duty for Game 5?
No, but I'm... Game 5 is tomorrow night, so no, I'm not. I'll be watching from the comforts of home.
Very good. Well, fingers crossed we do get a bit of a fairy tale, just purely, as you say, just so we can see some more basketball, but it could well be a historic maiden victory for the Raptors. Thank you for that, sir, and we'll chat again soon.
Indeed.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.